This is the Summer Breakfast Club with Andrew Mays and Scott Gullen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Club on this Friday morning, January 22 of 2021. Andrew Mays and Scott Gullen with you all the way through until 8:30 this morning. Then after that, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. And of course, from 10:30, RSN Central with Gareth Hall. So still plenty to come on a very busy Friday morning. Always plenty of previews of a lot of weekend racing. Stacks to come on the show today as well. There's plenty to talk about, including some big news breaking overnight as well. We'll get to that in just a second, but plenty of big name guests. Liam Hendricks. Now, he's a name you might not be familiar with. The guy's spoken to him a couple of times on The Breakfast Club. He is an Australian pitcher over in the US, and he has joined the Chicago White Sox. Now, some of these figures have to be seen to be believed. We'll tell you his story at about 6:30 this morning when he joins us. Before 7 o'clock this morning, the early mail as well on fire again yesterday, Scotty, which was great news. And then after 7, of course, the Friday form. Dean Lester and Nick Quinn to join us, previewing a big day of racing tomorrow. Hopefully we can get you a few more winners. Plus, the Barwon Heads Up is back on this Friday morning with Scotty in the chair. Lee Broxton from the Melbourne Victory to join us after 7:30. Dr. Peter Bruckner as well after 8 o'clock this morning to have a chat about the tennis players and their fitness regimes in hotel quarantine at the moment. And Bo Webster from the Renegades also to join us today. Very busy show. Get involved anytime you like. 1-300-652-927. Shoot us a text. 0416 90 50 52. Jump on our Facebook page at RSN Racing and Sport, or find us on Twitter at RSN 927 or at RSN Breakfast. Scotty, good morning to you.
Good morning, Maisie. Wonderful to be here.
Jeez, I just saw Peter Hanscom, the Victorian cricket captain. Now, yes, he'd been sort of running with the Moulay type action. Big hair.
Yes.
It's now ponytail.
I saw that. I'm very happy with that from Peter.
I'm jealous, but
warrior style. It must be a ponytail at the back.
Yep.
You know, that's what I'm heading towards. I think that's my future.
When I did see you on Fox Sports, before I saw you last week.
I'm a regular on Mondays, you know that.
Fox Sports, is that your gig, is it? Permanent?
Well, for a few weeks, because I'm Australia's leading tennis writer.
That's right. Geez, yours is getting towards that stage as well.
I know. I think Peter Hanscom's my man. I've never had that.
Inspiration.
I want one of those silly, like Shiraz hat, those silly little ones.
Oh, yeah.
Or Tom Michael Hurt, no, Cale Hooker, or that sort of. Yeah, yeah. That clearly would suit me. So, what's it called? Top knot.
The top knot, yeah.
Yeah, I'll try and get that and then maybe cut it once I reach that. That could be my aim, to wear it in here one day.
Yep.
Top knot it.
I could grow mine out, but my problem is there's a lot missing at the front,
yes,
which is the issue.
Our listeners should know that you've lost the battle cliff very early. How young were you when you figured out I'm in trouble?
About a year ago.
Is that all?
No, it's happened quickly.
Oh, I can't remember you with hair now. That's terrible. I've known you for years, Andrew.
Yeah.
Really, only a year ago?
Oh, about a year ago, yeah. The clippers were bought and I was like, right, this is it. It's going.
Oh, it looks good. It's like you've had it for years.
It's weird because because they say it comes from your mum's side.
Okay.
And my pop has got, he's about 85, he's got the thickest head of hair you'd ever see. And then my other pop who passed away last year, he had stacks of hair as well.
No.
So, yeah.
Hair's never been a problem. The greyness hit me a little bit, not early, but I eased my way into greyness.
You can work with that now, though.
Yes, no, some people see that as a positive, so I'm rolling with that.
It looks good. I like the silver.
I appreciate your support.
The other interesting thing yesterday that I did at home was doing a bit of a clean-up. So I'm losing my study.
Oh, no. Is this
child number two coming along, and the study is the victim, unfortunately. Can't put them both in the same room.
So where are you? Kitchen table or something now?
Nah, bedroom. We've got a desk in the bedroom.
Oh, this is... No. This is heading down...
Setback.
You need to buy another house territory. You know that.
Oh, jeez. Wouldn't be able to afford one.
This is where it's heading.
It's a real setback. I've got a beautiful desk too. Got it for my 18th birthday.
Oh.
It's come with me everywhere. It's one of those big sort of...
So where it's going to end?
It's going to storage. Real setback. But anyway, while I was doing a bit of a clean-up, one of the things that I decided to turf, because I wouldn't call myself a hoarder, but I keep a few things.
Yeah, I'm a keeper.
Yeah. The CDs.
Oh.
Yeah, gone.
Oh, you've turfed them?
E-waste, yesterday.
E-waste?
Well, that's where you take all your...
Can't you sell them? Are they worth anything? Because they're...
I wouldn't have thought so.
Years old.
Well, if they are, it's too late. They're sitting in the bottom
CDs.
Of the tube somewhere.
What was your genre when you were collecting these CDs?
No, everything, really. Oh, because I used to work in a department store in the CD section.
In between your part-time TV monitor.
That's right. So, yeah, I got lots of cheap CDs, which was fantastic.
Okay.
So, no, I had CDs from my dad's era all the way through until...
This could be... You could have sold them on eBay or something.
Well, I think
not
records
that
are the
done
one.
That.
Well, I think records...
Oh, vinyl's back. Yeah, everyone's got... Everyone, like a lot of kids have got turntables now. That's a thing.
Well, my mum had probably 400 vinyls from my dad and...
Well, I hope they haven't been chucked at e-waste.
No, we sold them about... 7 or 8 years ago.
Oh, a bit early.
Pre-vinyl coming
back.
You
went a bit early?
Might be worth a bit now. The bloke who bought them is probably sitting on a mini gold mine.
400 vinyls, which she sold for $1 each. That's not good.
I think she sold the whole lot for like $5.
No. That is an error.
Missed opportunity there. Yeah, so the CDs.
Okay, yeah.
Can you remember what your first ever CD was? Mine is very embarrassing, but the first album I bought.
Album? Oh, there was a famous mixed album that had a pig on it, like called Full Bore. This is before your time.
Okay.
So I'm showing my age, but some of the listeners will understand that. It was pretty high up. Full Bore. I remember it because the album cover was outrageous.
Full Bore?
Full Bore, but it was a mix.
Oh, it's one of those mixed ones.
Yeah, but that was, I think, my first.
Yep.
I'm trying to think what else I had. What did you go with?
My first ever album that I got as about a 9-year-old was Savage Garden.
Oh, you know, you're in trouble. Midnight Oil were very big when I was younger.
Oh, well, that's a good
That's
one.
Respectable. Yeah, yeah, Savage Garden, okay.
Savage Garden.
We're getting a bit of an insight here into where you were heading. What's your favourite Savage Garden song? They were very successful.
What's that one where it goes, like a chicka cherry cooler? Remember that one?
Can you keep singing? No. This is good stuff for the... we can use this later on. Savage Garden. No, they were very successful. And we all know their songs, so we might laugh, but we do all know their songs.
They were very big in the UK, from memory as well.
They found a niche?
They did. Not only did they do well here, but they did very well overseas. So,
okay.
Yes. Now, I did say at the top there's been some big... breaking news. Oh, let us know if just let us know for a bit of entertainment off the SMS as well. Your first CD that you owned. 0416 90 50 52. 0416 90 50 52. Had to turf all mine yesterday. Let us know which was your first CD as a music owner. Now I did mention off the top some big breaking news from overnight, and we probably could have predicted this, but we have had our first Australian Open tennis player test positive to COVID-19. Spaniard Paula Badoza confirmed on social media last night that she had tested positive for COVID-19. She came out on one of the flights that was
Abu Dhabi. The non-Bernard Tomic one. So
yes.
The one that's caused all the trouble. That was where the coach was also positive. So
yep.
She developed symptoms. They're good. I mean, if there's a good thing, she's already in hard lockdown. So
yep.
Theoretically, she's where she needs to be, and it's not an issue.
Yep.
So they'd be frantically... Well, these people are getting tested every day anyway. So they're having 5 or 6 tests while they're in hard lockdown, which is why we've found this out. So everyone on that flight will be getting multiple tests.
And she wasn't a shedder.
She's
got
a newbie.
A new infection.
So... I mean, it's disappointing for her, but she's already in quarantine, already doing all the right things.
Yep.
Wouldn't be in contact with anyone. So maybe this bubble system that has been criticised is going to do the job and keep her contained and the virus contain.
Well, absolutely. And that this is what it was for, the hard lockdown. So I think Craig Tyler can get up to his press conference with a big smile on his face.
I got one.
This
one
is
positive.
Exactly why we went through with these protocols. So, yeah. Did you see up in Queensland yesterday? Oh, no, sorry, in Adelaide yesterday. That Novak Djokovic was out on his balcony.
He spends a lot of time flaunting his nice trees and air that he's breathing.
He also doesn't... he's not a fan of wearing a top.
Novak
on the balcony.
He tends to understand these rigs okay.
To get the rig out there. Yesterday there was an FM radio station who parked themselves outside and started playing sort of table tennis out the front.
Love it.
And then Novak came out and sort of had a mock hit with them from his balcony. So, no, it was a great effort. But Novak, any chance of wearing a top on that balcony?
No, of course not. So he's a man of the people. He's pleading for all these demands for these players who are in hard lockdown, yet all they see of him is on his balcony breathing beautiful Adelaide air with his top off, with nice trees.
And his coach.
Yeah, no.
That's all we see.
He's going well,
no. So, Badoza, by the way, on Twitter just said, I have some bad news today. I received a positive COVID-19 result. I'm feeling unwell and have some symptoms, but I'll try to recover as soon as possible listening to the doctors. I've been taken to a health hotel to self-isolate and be monitored. Thank you for your support. We'll be back stronger.
So maybe she has to start another 14.
I'd say she
would. Yeah, so she's in... preparation is slightly skewed there.
She's the world number 67, so I think she made the third or fourth round of the French Open last year. So she's not a... She can play.
Oh, yeah.
That's unfortunate for her. It's going to be a very tough go for her now in the lead-up to the Australian Open, which was always going to be the fear. If you're on that flight, that's what you'd be thinking as soon as you got the news that there was a few positive tests on that flight.
No, you're in the wheelhouse of trouble.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Hi, guys. First CD, Skid Row, Slave to the Grind.
Oh.
And I still buy CDs. That's from
I just looked up Full Bore, 1979.
Oh.
Well, you wouldn't have even been with us.
No.
You wouldn't even been a thought at that point.
No.
So that's, I'm showing my age here.
Married.
Full Bore. It was various artists. It was a collation.
Okay.
It was magnificent.
Speaking of collations, another one that's come off the SMS, Hit Machine. Remember those, Hit Machine? There was Hit Machine and So Fresh.
Yeah.
Hit Machine,
Boomtown
14.
Rats were on it. Johnny My Sex, Johnny...
Boomtown Rats? What?
Yeah,
that's
Cold
not
Chisel.
A bad... Oh, Cold Chisel?
Choir Girl, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good CD.
JoJo Zepp and the Family.
Started high.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm high-tasting music.
Right, so Hit Machine 14 had the Macarena on it. That's from SMS. Now, that was... this makes you feel fairly old. 1996 was Hit Machine 14. So,
1996. Oh, okay.
Hit Machine 14. Macarena on it.
I'd moved on by then to more acquired tastes.
Morning, boys. Screamer was my first. Another mixed album with a lady in torn denim shorts on the cover. That's from Robin Launching Place.
Oh.
Screamer.
You always remember the covers.
Yes. Yep.
The Full Bore cover is next level.
Is it? What sort of cover did they run with?
It's a pig's head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why you remember it.
Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet from the SMS, first CD.
They were high up.
This is more my era. S Club 7, first CD.
Yeah, this is
fantastic.
There's a trend picked up here. You're a boy band specialist, aren't you?
I was. Well, that was my era, growing up amongst the boy bands.
You've got a bit of boy band about you, even now,
thank you very
with
much.
Your reg pants and
might
stuff.
Have even been to a boy band on honeymoon in Vegas.
Oh, Savage Garden?
No, they weren't playing in Vegas.
You never know.
I saw, and I don't know whether I should admit this on radio, I saw the Backstreet Boys in Vegas.
Oh, hang on, here we go.
Numerous beverages.
Okay, well now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have Andrew May's top five boy bands by the end of the show. I want to hear them.
Oh, that'd be easy.
All right, go now. Give me a few. Who have you got, Backstreet Boys?
Well, that'd have to just about be number one. There we go.
Yes. Next.
Probably, from an Australian point
Savage.
Of view, Human Nature were very good.
Better than Savage?
No, probably Savage above them.
Okay.
Savage Gun.
Human Nature.
There was an underrated boy band called 98 Degrees.
Okay. You know, Dean Lester is our resident guru music man. He's going to shoot you down.
I'll be interested if...
Five, I need one more. Backstreet Boys, Savage Garden, Human No Check.
Westlife.
The way you just roll them off the tongue is highly disturbing to me.
This is my youth. Oh, there we go. This is what happens.
Oh,
this was fantastic.
Speaking of
back
music.
In the day, grade 6 disco, this was going off.
Grade 6 disco?
Yeah.
Oh, I won't go into Dr. Beats at Colic High because... We didn't have boy bands happening.
No, I can imagine not.
Now, speaking of music, did you... Gaga and J-Lo, we're on radio,
yes.
Obviously, when all that was happening. Yeah. But I've since caught up with Katy Perry's firework. Have you seen that?
Wasn't that
how good was the fireworks display? And naturally, you get one of the biggest entertainers in the world to sing a song about fireworks.
Yep.
Oh, wow. They did. Joey Biden's people, whoever got together and said, we'll produce this... Flawless.
Is that the biggest fireworks display you've ever seen? I mean, how many did they have going on?
Well, Andrew Demetrio did like his fireworks in the AFL, but that was just... And all the camera footage standing on the balcony of the White House and...
Yep.
I don't know where Katie was. She must have been nearby on some very large platform as well.
Yeah. And Bruce Springsteen was there too.
Oh, I didn't... What did the boss sing?
No, I didn't actually... just saw the highlights. I didn't actually see what he was singing. The boss was amazing in concert. Now, that was one of the best concerts I've been to. Skyhawks Living in the 70s from Mark. That's very solid start to your CD collection. Explosive Hits 74, a new world record by ELO as far as a band.
ELO, yes.
So this is where I really was born about 20 years too late. ELO would be in my top five bands of all time.
Oh, really?
Love ELO.
Yeah, no, they're good.
Yeah, love ELO. Time to take a break. Let us know through the morning. Your first CD, I'm sure... Dean Lester, I'm very interested to get his thoughts after 7 o'clock this morning on his first CD because he is an absolute music guru. It is 20 past 6 on your Friday morning. Back with more after this. Time now, though, to get stuck in to the Friday form. Dean Lester and Trent Langscale with us on this Friday morning. Dean, good morning to you.
Morning, Andrew. Morning, Scotty.
Now, Dino, you might have caught earlier... More revelations about our red pant wearer over here. Boy bands, yes. Where do you sit? I got a top five out of him. You're our resident guru. Who's the best boy band in your movement in the music industry?
Oh, boy band.
Are you shocked that Andrew Mays has a top five boy bands?
Yeah, look, I have some appreciation for the genre, but I wouldn't have had a top five.
No,
He rattled off Backstreet Boys, Savage Garden, Human Nature.
Well, if Savage Garden's a boy band, that they win by 100 yards. So
that might be a bit harsh.
Savage
it's
Garden.
Good point.
Yeah. NSYNC for me, probably.
Yes. Yep.
Have you heard of 98
Justin
Degrees?
Justin Timberlake came out of it. It was a good group. Oh. 98 Degrees is a fantastic group.
Oh,
I told you.
Yeah.
And Westlife crept in at five.
Okay. I would have had Boyzone ahead of Westlife.
Yeah, Boyzone.
And Take That, not far off them either.
Yeah, see, I wasn't a massive Take That fan, but anyway.
There was a good draft. See, Robbie Williams came out of the draft.
That's what you got to think. Who came out of them rather than if they were any good?
Justin Timberlake came out of the NSYNC draft.
Yes. You know, good. Very good draft. Strong. The depth, though, in some of the others was what
Do you remember Full Bore, Dino, the album?
Not really.
I'm trying to find somebody who does.
you're on your own here. 1979.
It's a distinctive cover.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I might look up that cover.
Oh,
as well.
Yes. I'm with you now.
Yeah. The pig's head and the glasses.
The pig. Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. There we go.
Not a band. It was
probably
just a collation
on the back of Ripper 76 and Ripper 77 and things like
that. Yes. Yeah. Now Dino's with me.
Trent Langscale joins us on the
slugger.
Line as well.
He's
now,
a boy band man.
He would be a boy band man. Trent, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Maisie. You did have to know a fair bit about the boy bands, especially when you were the drummer for a band. You had to have an appreciation of all genres, fellas.
Wow.
Slugger was... What were your band called, Slugger?
That was part of the school band, Scotty. It goes back to a conversation.
Hang on. You got to lead with the word school before you throw that stuff in.
This was part of an isolation chat. This goes back about 6 to 8 months ago with the fellas. I scared half straight one morning, I think, and shocked Dino with this. Just going in regards to the boy bands, I understand where Dino's coming from with NSYNC, because when No Strings Attached came out in 2000, that was sort of their attack on their previous band promoter, and they didn't like what they were doing. So they released No Strings Attached in 2000. That was their finest work, and definitely with Justin Timberlake coming out. Of course, Ronan Keating also came out of Boyzone, so that was another one there. And I can't believe you forgot Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I've started this something here. We need to shift topic.
Warburg.
Yeah, oh, Marky, yeah.
This is next level from Trent. He's taking it to a whole new
level. All right, readjust here. Sand down hillside.
Straighten up. Let's get
money to be
on
made.
The racing tomorrow. Quaddy Legs, in case you haven't listened before, every Friday we head through the Quaddy Legs with Dean Lester to get his early thoughts ahead of the form panel tomorrow morning on RSN 927 at 8 o'clock. But just to get an idea of what he's thinking, first of all, for the Breakfast Club listeners, we'll have a look each and every Friday. And don't forget the formula bet as well. If you haven't registered, your chance to be a part of the money. Just head to rsn.net.au, jump on the competitions page and register your details. Now, this is the Tylan Porter Handicap tomorrow. First leg of the quaddy, over 1,400 metres for the three-year-olds. Now, Dean, Duke of New Orleans is at $3.50 in the market. Is that the way you're heading in this one? It's only third up this campaign.
Yeah, he's a promising horse. I think it's a bit more open than that, though. I think they're very evenly graded, these horses, and thought the filly Bella Tiara had a chance here for Maddie Williams. She got the money at Caulfield. Probably the race structure that day suited her, but I think actually Sandown Hillside, big track, will suit her again. And she stays at the same weight. And I think the speed of this race will suit. I think she'll run well. Duke of New Orleans couldn't have been more impressive than he was at Geelong. It was an amazing win on the wet ground. And then last start, probably mid-race, he just went a bit steady. And I thought he gave the other horses a chance to get the momentum and beat him. He still battled on really well. And I think for that reason, just getting a bit emotional about him, that he's the main danger. Yes. Milton Park, number one, he trialled really well going into that first up run. I just didn't know if he was sharp enough to win 1,400 from an inside draw, but he did a good job to win at Flemington, and he can run well again. But I'm giving chances to the regally named number 8 Pig in Mud, who did the job at at Geelong last start. And 6 Wise Council, who won a pretty moderate race during springtime and then was put out. He's resumed, and I thought his recent jump out was good, and he's been gelded since his last campaign. He might be a bit more of a racehorse this preparation. I'm a little bit wary of him first up. So, yeah, we're going with a few numbers in the first leg and try and keep us into the second.
Some Pig in Muds by Street Boss out of Silent Sophia. So there's no obvious Pig in Mud references, Dino. Do you know anything about that?
No. No, I think Gareth Hall knows a lot more about this story than I.
Okay, well, he won't go down that track.
On about this.
Now, Slugger, Duke of New Orleans is still the favourite?
He is the favourite here, Scotty, but has been easy since the market opened on Wednesday. Duke of New Orleans opened $3, now at $3.50. There has been some backing for Milton Park on the second line, 5 to 4.60. Bella Tiara, Dino's on top selection there. Well, as much as 550 into 480, Pig in Mud at 5. There has been some specking for Miss Divine M, as much as 10 into 8. And then Wise Council, Dino's also mentioned there, the best of the others at $13. This is one of the races here, Scotty, that the punters haven't honed in on a particular runner. That's evident with Duke of New Orleans, an easing favourite at $3.50.
Are you New Orleans or New Orleans, man?
I'm a New Orleans.
Yeah. But everyone over there is New Orleans.
I know.
Yeah.
But I live in Australia.
Same. Numbers, please, Scotty.
Yes.
Very important.
Where is Rammer? Is he still alive? All right. Here we go.
19-week holiday.
Numbers in the first leg. 4, 7, 1, and then chances to 8 and 6.
Fantastic by you. Now, race 7 tomorrow before the break, the second leg of the quaddy. Benchmark 84 over 1,500 metres. Now, Dean, there's a few of our old favourites in here with Rule the World and Holbein, so plenty of familiar types. Grinzinger Alley, though, leads the way at $2.60. Which way are you leaning with a few of our favourites from the Friday form here that have got us some success in the past?
Yeah, well, a new favourite, Grinzinger Alley. Well, he was good to us at Caulfield recently because he just couldn't quite peg back Rule the World, which was a good result. But I think he will tomorrow. I think he'll turn the tables. He's got a 3 kilo weight advantage. He goes up a little bit in distance. He gets onto a bigger track. I just think everything points to him winning Grinzinger Ali. But a little bit of insurance for the quaddy. We'll put in four fundraisers who has really developed into just a bit of a winning machine, this preparation. His last three runs have all been terrific, and he won at 1600 last start, which I thought might have been a distance that was maybe a bit beyond him, but he did a good job, so back 100 metres won't hurt him at all. And Rule the World, who backs up from last week, ran well. I don't know if he can beat Grinzinger Ali this week, but I'll put him in for third, and that's the race for me, but Grinzinger Ali, I think, will be very popular, and deservedly so.
What about Caffrey? It's in the market, Dino, and it improved last start. Drawn one.
Yeah, look, he's a good chance. He's won at Hillside, so that's a tick for him. And I am a little bit surprised he's second favourite, to be honest. But he's the next in line. But I was trying to trim it up a little bit this league. I think we know these horses quite well, and he does drop 6 kilos off that run last start behind Fundraiser, but Fundraiser also drops three. So the 3 kilo weight discrepancy. I think Fundraiser can beat him again, though.
And good old Holbein, you just can't catch it, can you? I just never know when he's going to win.
I think he won four of his first nine, and he's now won one of his last 27. So he runs good races. He just doesn't win very often.
So Slugger, Dino's not happy with Caffrey. Where's whose favourite? And what price is Grinzinger Ali?
Scotty, Grinzinger Ali is the favourite. Did touch as much as $2.90 on Wednesday. Now a $2.60 favourite. And you'd expect support there with that good push there from Dino. Caffrey, there was some early support, but due to the money for Grinzinger Ali, Caffrey has eased from $3.10 to $3.30. Fundraiser has really got out from $3.10 to $3.70. Rule the World at $5.50. There's always backing for Holbein. There must be some punters that are living off the past glory. Holbein is at $16, and then you could take 200-1 for Aloft, Namiya, and Goodwood Zodiac.
Magnificent. Thank you very much for that, Trent. Numbers, please, Scott.
The numbers here in the second leg, 5, 4, and 3.
5, 4, and 3. Nice trim-up leg in the quaddie. We're going to get to the second two legs after this, or the last two legs of the quaddie after this for the MRC members' handicap.
What did you just say?
Second two legs, which is not really the second two.
Come on.
Sorry, the last two legs.
Spent a lot of time on your education, your family.
Well, at least we don't need calculators today. I'm hoping that the equations will be worked out a lot better by Trent Langscale. We know Quinny's had serious problems calculating the odds over the last couple of weeks. So fingers crossed the freshen up can do him well and he'll come back bigger and better than ever. But we'll come back with the last two legs of the quaddie on the other side of this. I need you tonight. Back on track here.
I didn't know where you were going, trying to say this is a boy band.
No, we're seriously back on track here. Michael Hutchins, after he passed away sadly in the late 90s, it would have been his birthday today.
Okay. How old?
How old would Michael Hutchins have been today?
He'd be 54.
Dean Lester, how old would Michael Hutchins have been today?
I've got two in mind, but I think he would have been 60 today.
Really? That old?
Slugger, Trent Langscale, how old do you think Michael Hutchins would have been today?
Well, I'll just go away from Dino. I'll go one up. I'll just go 61.
Oh.
Bang. Trent Langscale.
61?
He would have been 61 today. He was born in 1960. Of course, died at the age of just 37 in 1997. See, 1997 seemed like about 7 or 8 years ago. That's the problem.
That's my worst effort this week.
Yeah, they were. Jeez, that was so good.
That's poor by you.
In Excess. That's very poor. 60.
Did you ever get to see In Excess, Dean?
I did. It was grand final night 1986 at Festival Hall.
Oh, wow. How good is that?
Fantastic. Yeah, it was off the Listen Like Thieves album tour, and it was magnificent.
Now, that would have been just after they got home from the UK in Wembley, wouldn't it?
Wembley was the Wembley was after the later. Kick album, so there was
they were in great form.
That's
a big day, grand final into an INXS.
Oh, sure is.
Cranbourne races into grand final into INXS.
Oh, how good's that? What a day. One of the greats of all time. Yeah, so Michael Hutchence would have been 61 today. That makes you feel a bit old.
I know, I'm disappointed with myself.
Yeah, an absolute star. I remember my parents telling me they were living in London at the time, and they went with a few of their friends, and no one, of course, had heard of INXS, and everyone's going, who's this Inks? Who's this Inks turning up?
Well, Dino, you know our man here didn't know what TISM was. How did you say TISM?
No, just T-I-S-M.
What are your thoughts on his music genre now?
In his years at Her Majesty's Theatre, he probably didn't get to see these sort of bands when he was ushering, so I'm not sure.
Or on the Neighbours set, they weren't playing TISM in the background. Yeah.
Dominated ushering. I was one of the great, just sit here.
One of the great ushers.
Yeah, one of the great ushers of all time.
It is an art, I'll give you that.
And selling programs. Jeez, what a career it could have been. Now, MRC Members Handicap tomorrow, race 8, the third leg of the quaddie. Hopefully we're still in it by this stage. Heart of Puissance, nice story to see this horse come back. Read a lot about it over the last couple of days. Had its injury concerns, but it is leading the market. Is that where we can put all our eggs in the third leg of the quaddie, Dean?
He's the hardest horse to assess at the meeting because he was very promising as a spring three-year-old. I know he ran in the All-Star Mile and he was probably a little bit outgraded at that stage of his career, but his figures were still well down in that last preparation. His recent trials have been okay. I'm putting him in the quaddie, but this is a good competitive race. I like one at a bit of odds here in Translator, number 12. I think he did enough first up. He didn't have the blinkers on that occasion. The blinkers go straight back on. He goes to the hillside track as opposed to lakeside, which will suit him a lot better. It's a bigger track. I think down in the weights, I think he's got a really good chance. There's a lot of horses coming out of that race, and it mightn't look apparent that he'd be the best one of them running eighth, but I think he's got a tremendous hope to beat Seafield Road, who's another one at good odds. So when he's passed two, and all of a sudden he drops 4 kilos in weight for winning, I think he's way over the odds. But good chances to 10 War Critic, who's progressing well, as are most of the Elton Zara horses at the moment. Another regally named horse in Spud, number 8, who was good first up and was really solid at last start and ran well. And next best, Heart of Puissance, who I'll be putting in the quaddie. But look, it's an open race, but yeah, I think Translator will run well at a price.
Oh, I like this. Now, there's one here that I continually get sucked into, Dino, and there was a sign of life last start, Arctic Shock.
Yeah, she's in that form line as well, and she's there with a chance also. I mean, you could make a case for Kig Magnus, Arctic Shock. You could keep going on out of this race. Whittington Stone's another one that comes through that same form line. Mm. So, it's a very even race, but I think that, I'm hoping that the gear changes and a little bit longer trip give Translator a bit of an edge at a price.
Now, Slugger, naturally, I've already backed Translator. Have I impacted the price?
Oh, no.
Not as yet, Scotty. $14 the win for Translator and $3.80 the play.
Oh, hello.
You've had your own Translator.
Message 5 minutes ago, yeah.
And I can see a fair bit of action since Dino's mentioned that particular galloper there, Scotty. In an open affair, Heart of Puissance has actually received good support as the favourite. $3.20 was offered on Wednesday, a bet of 11,000 at $3.20. Pretty quickly, $2.90 now for Heart of Puissance. King Magnus, the second elect, has also had admirers at $6.50. With the backing for Heart of Puissance, War Critic has drifted from $5.50 to $8. Arctic Shock, $8.50. Whittington Stone at $9. Spud, $9.50 out to $13. Jester Dreamer also at $13. And again, mentioning there, Translator at the $14 mark. And also, Seafield Road, the second selection there for Dino, 21 the win. Ooh. And at 5 the place.
Jeez. Hang on.
Could be a bit of a
quinella action coming in.
Yeah, that would be very tasty for the third leg of the quaddie. Now, Scotty, numbers, please.
Okay, in race 8, third leg, 12 from 5, 10, 8, and then 2.
Thank you very much. Race 9 tomorrow, just before 6 o'clock. Benchmark 78 over 1,000 metres. my goodness me, this is an open affair. It looks like very hard on paper. Dean, have you been able to decipher this field at all and maybe isolate one or two, or is it a blanket finish to the quaddie?
Well, I think it'll be a blanket finish. There won't be a lot between them. 1,000-metre dash at Sandown, there's never usually a lot between them, but we'll try and narrow it down to four main chances. I was quite keen on Not Enough Effort first up, and he ran well at Flemington. It was 1,100 metres, I think, back to 1,000. Drops a little bit in weight and significantly gets Mark Zara to ride, so that's got to be a little bit of a plus. So I'm leaning his way. Number three, I Did It for Love. What he's got is a really good winning strike rate, and that's that's really important. He's won 4 of 7. It was a lovely ride to win last start, and I think back to 1,000 metres is no problem for him. Seven, Propel. I think she's only won 4 of 21, when I say only. She's basically raced in the metropolitan area. But when you drill right down on her form and have 1,000 metres and dry track form, she's got a terrific record. And I think she can sprint well fresh. And down the bottom, number 14, Sapphire Crown, only had the 5 starts, shows ability, and has had 2 recent jump outs, including one on Tuesday, and looks to be going extra well. I thought could run a really good race fresh, gets away from a lot of these at the weights too. So trying to trim it up a little bit, because you could go on and on about little chances in this race, as the market would suggest. But keeping it to those 4 numbers.
I have memories of a good yarn fresh hurting me once upon a time, Dino. If it will be leading, or well, a few of them will be trying to lead, but it goes very fast from the gates.
Yeah, he does. I just think he might take a run, Scotty. Yeah. I'll probably think this run, and then maybe even see him at a 9.55 at the Valley in a couple of weeks' time or something like that. That might be where he's going to peak. But he usually just takes a run, and now he's a 7-year-old. I'm just thinking he just day at the races would serve him well.
Slugger, Dino hasn't mentioned the favourite China Affair. What's the market? Very open race.
$6 the field here, Scotty. This is a complete dart job, the last leg of the quaddy at Sandown. You have China Affair and Not Enough Effort now sharing favouritism at $6. There's just been a slight trim for Not Enough Effort, $6.50 into $6. I Did It for Love. There'd been some early support, $8 into $6.50. Flowstar has gone the other way, $6.50 to $8.50. That is the same fluctuation for Sapphire Crown. Propel at $9. Cariano, here's one that's been specced at a price, 15 to 9. Fine Dane, as well, as had some admirers at the $11 mark. Then it's $21 or better for the remainder of the field. Good luck here with the last leg. $6 equal favourites in Not Enough Effort and China Affair.
We'll get to the formula bet in just a second, along with the Bowen heads up, Scotty. But Rammer has just texted. He's just woken up on the houseboat. He hasn't actually been on land for 9 weeks, Rammer, since he left the studio.
You've got to sink that boat.
So, can you please
repeat to come back to reality.
All the numbers of the quaddy legs, please,
all
for
right.
our listeners?
First
who might
leg.
Have missed them.
Here we go. 4, 7, 1, 8, and chance to 6. Second leg, 5, 4, and 3. Third leg, 12 at big odds. From 5, 10, 8, and 2. And in the last leg, we go with number 5 to win from 3, 7, and 14. Do you notice I do it off the form guide? I don't write them down.
You do.
So it's slower and the people can write them down.
There's a lot of dramatic pauses in there.
Well, it has to be, because I can't quite read my writing.
Thank you very much for that, Scotty. Magnificent work by you. Pleasure. Rating out of 10 there, Dean, in comparison to Macca, who was possibly the most nervous man through last week I've ever seen.
Yeah, you go from one extreme to the other. Be laid back about it all, a bit West Indian about it. Really. So,
I think we'll favour that, won't we?
I do like the relaxed tone.
Thank you.
Very
appreciate
much so.
That.
Now, Dean, your Formula Bet contestant this week, and also the Formula Bet itself. Which way are we heading this week?
It is for Jim Manukian of Reservoir. And for Jim, we're having $40 the win race 1, number 3, Artorias. $40 the win race 7, number 5, Grinzinger Ali. And $40 on the all-up of race 1, number 3, into race 7, number 5.
And
for Jim Manukian of Reservoir.
Trent, what does that come to at tab.com.au?
Matey, race 1, number 3, Artorias, $4.40. Race 7 at number 5, Grinzinger Ali, $2.60. That comes out to $11.44. And we always know, Matey, how Half loves when Dino mentions horses other than the quaddy legs. I can say that Artorias in the first has been well supported already from $7 to $4.40.
Oh, wouldn't mind betting that'll be crunched over the next half hour as well.
How refreshing is it to have a man who can use a calculator and just seamlessly add up?
Get it right. Well, Quinny had $5 by $2, and he was battling with that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and so I was on then, and it got out to like 30 to 1 suddenly.
It's a very big improvement on what we had from Quinny. Now, a roughie for us as well, a bit of a value selection with the Barwon Heads Up, which was successful in getting the place last time round, Dean.
Certainly a bit of a spoiler alert. We've already mentioned him in race 8, number 12, Translator. I think he's terrific odds and a really good winning chance at those double-figure odds, Trent.
All right, $14, Translator, as Trent mentioned.
I like
before.
It.
So that is very nice. So just a quick one before we let you go, Dean. Of course, racing tonight at the Valley as well. There's been plenty of talk about the field size of the Australia Stakes, just six starters tonight. Have you got a leaning... Anyway, there, how do you see that one panning out over the 1,200 metres tonight?
I think the maestro, James Cummings, has just made a real art form of picking off these just below the top rung sprint races in recent times. We saw Pandemic win the Christmas Stakes, and you go through a lot of his horses, and Viridine did it last preparation. So I think bringing him down from Queensland after his last run's a bit of a masterstroke, and I think he'll get the money.
All right, fantastic. Thanks, Dean. We'll hear you, of course, with Gareth as well, and then looking forward to hearing you tomorrow on the Form panel after 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that, as always, on a Saturday morning. Thanks for your time, and we'll chat again next week.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Dean Lester there, the guru, joining us, as he does every Friday. In case you missed any of it as well, make sure you head to the website, rsn.net.au, or download it from your local podcast store, be it Google or Apple. Now, Trent, have you got a winner for us, as Quinny always does on his way out, on his departure?
Well, I haven't looked at the Herald Sun so far, Basie. I can't tell who Quinny has tipped today for his particular selection. Look, I'll go with probably one that Mick Sharkey will reference with Michael Felgate from 9 o'clock during the Friday form focus there. He has really talked about Quantum Mechanic in the last couple of runs, and Quantum Mechanic is in race 5 at Sandown tomorrow at number 2. Quantum Mechanic, currently a $2.40 favourite. Has been well found, and also amazing, Mick Sharkey will be so thrilled that he's received a mention during this particular segment with Dean Lester.
No doubt about that. He's probably out on the water coming in with some fresh fish as always speak. Looking forward to that after 9 o'clock this morning. Trent, thanks for your contribution. We'll chat to you a little bit later on and get some sporting markets as well. Let's have a chat now to Liam Hendricks. I was talking about him a little earlier. The Australian pitcher has just signed with Chicago, the White Sox over there in America, which is fantastic news for him, and he joins us now on the Breakfast Club again. Now, Liam, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us on RSN 927.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, tell us about what goes through a move in the MLB and how much paperwork has to get done, your conversations with agents and coaches and managers. What's the process like?
Yeah, so in a normal situation, you get 6 years in, and then you get a chance to go to free agency, which means you your first chance to really get an opportunity to talk to different teams, see something that's like a good fit. And then again, in a normal situation, I'd be traveling all around the U.S., going to like places like Chicago and some of the other teams that have reached out, and kind of getting the tour of the facilities and how everything's going. And then, unfortunately, this year all virtual, unfortunately, which was nice because we didn't have to leave the house.
Yep.
But it was tough because obviously you want to get an opportunity to kind of get the vibe and get the feel of how some of these other teams work. But yeah, my agent, hats off to my agent. He did a hell of a job with arranging it all, trying to get not only your like team presidents and general managers and pitching coach. And I mean, every Zoom call I did about 6 or 7 of them had 7 or 8 guys on the line. So it was trying to configure all that. It was an interesting time period, but we're excited where we landed up for sure.
And Liam, part of the beauty of your contract is this no trade clause, because as we know, free agency and getting moved around over in the States is far more quicker and easier than over here with the AFL. But you've got, you know, you can submit a list of teams you don't want to go to.
Yeah, so that was one of the things I really stressed to my agent going into the negotiation. I want some sort of protection that, okay, well, we move our life
our entire life to, like, the Chicago. We live in Florida, but, like, we move up, and then all of a sudden, halfway through the year, we have to move again and try and find a new place. So the first year has a full no-trade clause, which means they can't move me at all unless they come and ask and I waive it. The next year has a 10-team out of the 30 teams, and then the next year after that has a 5-team, which I can change myself in between each year and figure it out that way. But, yeah, it was one of those things that, like, most of the time I just feel bad if hop on the wires. I mean, I'm gone. If I'm on the road, I get traded. I just pick up my stuff and jump to another team. But she has to pack up the apartment or wherever we're living and move the animals and try and figure out shipping for cars and everything. So it's a lot of respect that you have to give your wife, and I made sure to try and get that in there as much as I could.
When you're going through the process, you talked about all the different Zoom calls with about 50 different people across all the different teams. Do you go into those meetings with one or two major factors on your mind? Obviously, there's the money element as well, but there's a lot of other things to take into consideration. Are there one or two things that you're looking to tick a box on and say, yep, right, that's the club I want to go to?
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, obviously. Finance, I don't deal with any of the finance stuff with talking to them about money or anything like that. That's not my job. I don't want to start kind of going that way, because as soon as you start getting players, obviously players are going to think they're worth a hell of a lot more than a lot of these teams do.
Yep.
So for me, it was just the individualized workout plans, like making sure it was a little bit more a la carte rather than just a cookie kind of mold of, hey, this is what we do, this is how we do it, this is what's going to happen. And more or less, okay, well, let's work together, let's have a sit-down meeting, let's work together on what you feel like is the best for you, and we can go back and forth and maybe mix some things in that we really, like the guys in the past have enjoyed doing, that have found some success. And then the other one was, I'm big into the analytical and kind of side work that I do, and I use I outsource. And so I've used this guy called Get Into the Blue, his name's Michael Fisher, for the last 2 and a bit years. So I wanted to make sure that any team I went to was okay with that. And then the other thing was all of a sudden, my wife and I, we do a lot off the field. So we do a lot in the community, in the city, with a strikeout bullying campaign. We do a lot with animal rescues, and we do some other things in there as well. But we wanted to make sure that they had a grip on what we wanted to accomplish off the field, and hopefully they could kind of help us, and how together we could move their philanthropic endeavors further.
You had a pretty good bargaining tool, given you were named in the All-MLB first team last month. How was that great honor?
Yeah, that was exciting.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, that was exciting. It was great because, like, last year I was in the second team, and they sent out this plaque, which is nice, and it's silver and all this. But this year they sent the gold one, so you put them next to each other, you really tell which one's nicer.
So you're one of only two relief pitchers in the team. That's massive.
Yeah, no, it was a really cool accomplishment. I'm so honored to be a part of that, and to be nominated in the final six in the last 2 years has been really, like, something else. So it's been a fantastic couple of years for me, and I can't wait to kind of improve and see what we can do with the White Sox under new tutelage and different ideas, because at the end of the day, different voices in your ear. I mean, if you can handle that, if you can move forward with them, it's a great tool to have, just those different opinions on way to do things.
So what's COVID doing in regards to your next, you know, preparation? What's happening next few months for you guys over there?
As far as we know, everything is kind of not back to normal per se, but the dates remain the same. So we'll head out to Arizona for spring training, the preseason time here in the next couple of weeks. We'll go and get tested to make sure that we're all good before we are even allowed to go into the place. And then I'm assuming it's going to be more along the lines of what happened last season, where we do tests every other day, and then pretty much just say, hey guys, don't be stupid. Respect for not only yourselves but everyone else in the organization about not going out and doing anything that could put you and your organization at risk. And then, as far as I know, we're looking at a full spring training, a full 162 game season, and then it's going to be exciting. I'm getting back to that full season length after this shortened season after this last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to ask about the shortened season as well. Has it helped? The fact that it has been a shortened season, all of your recovery, and have you found your body after last season?
It's actually been weird. We're talking about it going on. It was like it's supposed to be like in May, like 2 months into the season, but it was 2 months into the season, but it felt like that 6 months. No matter what, like if you're starting to relate where I was, it was just your body was like, okay, it's September. You've meant to have 6 months in. Your body feels like it's had 6 months in. It was a different time, but no, I don't usually take too much time off. So my recovery is usually I get myself about 2 weeks of not throwing, and then I get straight back into it and make sure that I'm still moving forward. Because if I spend too much time off, that's when everything starts going haywire. But yeah, went straight back into it, and I've been lucky enough to be able to still work out of the college I've been going to the last couple of years. They've been gracious enough to let me out there and following all their protocols and somewhat being an example for them with wearing the mask and stuff like that around campus and all that.
Liam, thanks so much for your time this morning. We love following your journey, and we loved it through this amazing COVID year last year, and we can't wait to follow it again this year. Good luck, and we'll hopefully catch up during the season.
All right, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
RSN Summer Breakfast Club.